Yo, and welcome back to another episode of the Fix Sports Podcast, the realest, blackest, and funniest sports podcast you have ever heard in your entire life. I'm coming straight from the south, going down. Audio Shop Talk brought to you right in your ear hole, brought to you by myself, Joseph Ward, and my homie, whichever way it's going, Sam Dixie. What up, Sam?
What's going on, man?
Hey, not trying to get my left and rights together. You know how it go. It'd be different in real life and camera life. Hey, man. We got a good pair of topics that we're gonna get into today. You know, some interesting things happen in the world of sports. You know, it'd be funny from the day we record to the next day we record to the next time we come back to record, how much crazy stuff happens.
Yeah.
So It be going down in the world of sports, so we're going to get into that. But remind y'all that the Fix Sports Podcast is brought to you by On the Shoulders of Giants. And On the Shoulders of Giants brings you African history at your fingertips and on the go. Our stories from our perspective at your fingertips. All you got to do is visit the website at www.ontheshoulders1.com. That's the numeral one, ontheshoulders1.com. That way you can see all the information that On the Shoulders of Giants have to give you in the various mediums, such as the book series, the blog, the YouTube channel, the nonprofit organization, the online course, an app for Android, as well as face-to-face classes, virtual classes, halfway face-to-halfway virtual classes, all types of educational means that you can get information. Smart boards, smart computers, smart phones, regular computers, it don't even matter. All you got to do is access the website at www.ontheshoulders1.com and take advantage of it. Hey, because if we don't tell our own stories, who will? All right? And remember, y'all can support The Fix on Patreon at patreon.com/TheFix. That way, and Patreon is where you're going to get the full videos. That's where you're going to get all that stuff. And you can do it for a little as a dollar a month. And your contributions to Patreon will help this platform grow and also help this platform be able to give back to the community it serves. All right. So what we talk about today, Willie. So our HBCU spotlight, there's a Jackson State gentleman who then received a pair of national awards. So we're going to show him some love for his national awards. Our homegirl, Clarissa Shields, then whooped somebody's ass again. So we're going to talk about her as she keep getting better. The Cowboys are going to the Super Bowl because Dak Prescott got signed. Hey, man, don't show no hate through your glasses, dog. Don't hate through your glasses, dog. So Dak got his money. Blake Griffin is now a new Brooklyn Net, and we're going to give our opinions on how we think that's going to affect the NBA. There's a California high school girls basketball coach who was suspended after his team won 161-2. Yes, I said that. Les Miles is now fired from Kansas because he didn't get suspended from LSU in 2013. I know you're probably like, what? We're going to talk about that later. And then our weekly rant is going to a high school basketball announcer who called a bunch of black girls a bunch of N-words because he was mad that they kneeled for doing the national anthem. So let's start off with that HBCU spotlight. That's yeah. You know what I'm saying? That's yeah. So there's a linebacker, a senior linebacker at Jackson State named Aubrey Miller Jr. Remember Aubrey from the gas station?
Yeah.
I mean, he's talking about, yeah, he's going to roll with it. Talking about, yeah. Hell no.
I remember talking to him.
I expected him like, nah. He's talking about, yeah. He said it with so much confidence. Yeah, nah. So he picked up a pair of national awards on Monday afternoon. Hey, man, you crazy as hell, man. So he earned the status performed FCS National Defensive Player of the Week and the Box Throw National Player of the Week award. He registered 18 tackles, 10 solo tackles, a tackle for loss, a forced fumble, and the Tigers' 33-28 victory over Grambling he forced a fumble as Grambling was driving and had the ball on second and goal from JSU 1 to force fumble, which caused JSU to get the victory. And I did see that happen. Did you watch that game?
Yeah, I did see it. That was a crazy game.
I'm mad I missed most of the game, but I caught them last 3 minutes, two, 3 minutes. And I just knew Grambling had this. I was like, man, Grambling finna beat Jackson State, man.
Mm-hmm.
And then, what is his name? Aubrey Miller Jr. Because when they showed the replay, because in real time, it was kind of hard to see the fumble happen.
Right.
But when they showed the replay, you seen how he got in there, put his hand in there. I was like, damn. Man, I just knew. I was like, man, all right, well, Grambling gonna win and continue the ways of the SWAC. But, hey, JSU is here. That was a statement win.
For real.
So, hey, man, we're gonna see what happened next in the SWAC, man. We're gonna see, because they still got to see Southern, they still got to see Prairie View, they still got to see Alabama A&M, schools like that. So, we're gonna see. But, yeah. All right, so, but that's our HBCU spot. That's not long, but it's needed. But Aubrey Miller Jr. picked up a pair of national awards. Like I said, he has the FCS National Defensive Player of the Week Award, as well as the Box Throw National Player of the Week Award, because he registered 18 tackles, 10 solo tackles, a tackle for loss, and a forced fumble, and the forced fumble to help Jackson State secure the victory over Grambling, who was moving down the field.
Yeah.
And, well, the thing, too, is I didn't understand why Grambling went with the no huddle fast pace. I didn't understand.
I think they felt like that was just it wasn't so much the clock. It was just, they felt like that was the best way to move the ball. Cause like they hadn't really moved the ball that great the whole game.
Right. But you do a hurry of offense to go to a single back set.
Yeah, but like I said, I think looking at it, I think it was just to try to keep Jackson State from being able to substitute and stuff. It wasn't so much like, hey, we need to hurry up.
I get you. I just didn't understand because I can see if like you got them. Of course, you got them off balance in the set, or you got them out, man. But to have that single back set and then you trying to power it in because you just tried it on first down with the single back set and they was able to stuff it. And then you come back with the same single back set and they still penetrating your line. So, but I get what you're saying. You know, they're trying to catch them off guard, but, you know, give them a lead blocker or something. Dang.
Yeah. Like I said, I mean, the coach would have to answer that, but like I said, but that was my only thought when I was watching it. It was like, because, you know, sometimes when – you know, cause I when I saw them come back again, I thought they was gonna sneak it.
Yeah.
But, cause you know, sometimes you can catch a team off guard if you do that quick snap and sneak real fast.
You're giving that Tom Brady special.
Yep. Exactly.
Yeah. Hey, but
for Foz Miller, like, yeah, he had one of them games where it's like, you watching it and you like, man, who is this guy? He's making every single tackle seem like.
Now, so, is Miller one of the new recruits? Or you don't know?
I don't think so. I think he's an older player.
Okay. But hey, he balled out though. Shout out to Miller. Salute to you, my brother. I hope you keep balling like that. And hey, we're going to sit back and see what all Jackson State got to offer.
Yeah, it's gonna be interesting.
Especially
in the fall.
Because nobody outside of time out. So they're gonna play this spring game and then come back and play in the fall.
That's my understanding. I mean, like my understanding is the 2021 season is gonna be a regular. Everybody's playing in the fall.
So they're. But they playing like real ball right now, and so are they? Because I know it's a limited schedule, so they treating it like the same length of a regular spring schedule.
Yeah, but like a little bit longer. But yeah, but from my understanding, like I said, they're gonna when they finish up, because I think they got like six more games or something like that. So you're looking at what, late April? So yeah, they'll be finishing up when everybody else is finishing up, because I know a lot of schools start in spring practice now. So they'll be finishing up around about the same time. I mean, but you know, obviously they would have gone through, much more rigorous, having gone through a full season, even an abbreviated season, versus gearing up for one scrimmage game.
And so now the question is, will that help or hurt them when it comes to regular season?
That'll remain to be seen, man. I mean, I think you could see some positives and some negatives. I mean, like, negative, obviously you're gonna be more beat up, and if you got somebody that have like a long-term injury, like, say, I don't know, like, some type of like
ACL or something.
like some ligament damage or something like that, they're gonna miss this fall. And but then again, like, if you had like a lot of those guys that were freshmen and stuff, they getting game reps. So when they all come, as opposed to like those schools that didn't play their sign guys, they had to miss that whole year. They're gonna be ready to go.
Yeah, that's why I say it's gonna be interesting to see if it help or hurt. But hey, one time for everybody, and one time for our HBCU spotlight, the show. Yeah. All right, so let's keep this thing moving. You want to know why, Sam?
Why that?
You really want to know why we got to keep this thing moving?
Tell me, tell me.
Because somebody got their ass whooped on the other night. Somebody got their ass whooped by Clarissa Shields, our homegirl, who says that she is the greatest female boxer of all time. The quote, the greatest woman of all time. So
Trademark that.
I know. So Friday, she did 10 rounds in a sole spot in boxing's. Let me read this over. Yeah, after 10 brilliant rounds Friday night, a sole spot in boxing's lore for the two-time Olympic gold medalist, WBC and WBO junior middleweight champ and Flint native became undisputable. In front of 300-plus fans at Dort Financial Center Arena in Flint, the hometown heroine dominated IBF champion Marie-Eve Dicari for the vacant WBA title, becoming the first boxer in the four-belt era, man or woman, to be an undisputed champion in two weight classes, 154 and 160. Because she would, hey, and she whooped that lady ass too. So her overall record now is 11 and 0 with two knockouts. She's won every round on all three judges' scorecards. It wasn't a hard fight to score. That's what they're saying. T-Rex is what they call her because she got short arms. They're saying she mauled her prey until the final bell, outlanding punches on the carry 128 to 31. And if you go back and look at the film, yes, it really happened like that. So the fight headline in all women's pay-per-view on Fight, it was the first time in almost 2 decades, not since Leila Ali fought Jackie Frazier in 2001, that women's boxing headlined a pay-per-view card. Shields never thought she'd see the day. Never in a million years did I think I would be on pay-per-view, Shields said after the title fight to the media. After Showtime refused to reschedule her canceled bout last year or put her back on the network, Shields realized it was time for women's boxing to have its move, to have its moment. But who would have thought she could be a pugilist and a pioneer on the same day? I'm especially grateful for Clarissa getting this opportunity for me. Danielle Perkins, who fought in the co-main event, said she's a real wonderful woman and I appreciate her. She just couldn't put a big show on in her hometown just to disappoint. And Dee Carey, who's 17 and 1 now, was no pushover. Shit. She was only the second southpaw Shields has seen in the pros. The Canadian held a 3-inch reach advantage, but lacked the footwork and punching power to make it count. So I ain't gonna read the whole article, but that just give y'all an idea of what happened. So Clarissa Shields, if you've been following the Fit Sports podcast, we've been talking about her for the last 3, 4, 5 years, right? And if you look at Clarissa Shields 3 years ago and you look at her now, you're like, damn, she's never gonna lose. Cause she got defense now. The only thing Clarissa Shields is lacking is knockout power. That's the only thing she don't have. Because did you see any of the highlights from this fight?
I didn't see the highlights from this one, but I have seen the others. But like you said, she's not a knockout, but that's more. That'll get you that'll put you over the top as far as the ticket sales.
Right.
You can win, but that'll put you over the top as far as the ticket sales. But you know, she just focused on winning.
Yeah. 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 It ain't nothing wrong with that. And I just don't, she's gotten better. And that's crazy because she was already better than everybody else 2, 3 years ago. And so she's gotten better. And yes, the lady she fought was no pushover, but the lady she fought was dominated. Like, when if you go back and look at the highlights, Clarissa Shields was catching her with everything she wanted to, and Dee Carey couldn't hit her. She couldn't hit her. A couple years ago, Clarissa Shields would be in there taking all types of hits. That's how I think it was Hannah, the black lady. I think it was Hannah or the one after Hannah. They was able to get a knockdown on her because she was just standing in there taking punches. Now she's moving. She got good footwork, good head work, and then she gonna hit you more than you hit her. So I'm with you though. She don't have to be a knockout artist, but the way people look at boxers, that's the only thing she don't have is the knockout. Right, you know, thing. But she don't, the object is to hit and not get hit. So,
yeah, man. I mean, like homegirl, if she was 17-0, I mean, she was obviously good. But it's still crazy that she's the best one. But then you look at the gap between her and Shields, it's still super wide.
Yeah, yeah. It's crazy wide because it was like this is going to be Shields' toughest match.
Then it was.
Yeah, it wasn't at all. And so, but this also takes me back to the conversation and the beef between Shields and Layla Ali. And because I remember having a conversation and because me and Patrick was having it, and we was talking about could Ali beat Shields or could Shields beat Ali? Of course, Ali is probably a year older now since that conversation. But nah, Ali will get her ass whooped.
Yeah.
Because my argument then was because Shields' defense wasn't good at the time, Layla Ali probably could knock her out. But she would have to do it early because if it went on, Shields would beat her ass. But in this one now, I don't think Ali would be fast enough to hit Shields.
Right. I agree with you 100%.
Because she'd just beat up, and Ali wouldn't be quick enough to move. She ain't never been quick on right. defense like that. So Shields would just be teeing off on her ass.
Yeah. And like you said, the longer the fight will go on, the more the skill discrepancy will be evident.
Right. So, hey. But shout out to Clarissa Shields. She's the undisputed champion in two weight classes, what, 154 and 160. So she's the first boxer ever in the history of boxing to do that. So y'all got to give her props for that. Yeah, 154 and 160, the undisputed champion in both weight classes. So one time for Miss Shields, and I'm just waiting to see who she demolished next. So keep it going. And have you heard about the stories of her sparring with Errol Spence?
No, I haven't heard about that, but I bet that's some good I would like to see tapes of
Yeah,
it.
yeah. They talked. I was watching something the other day, and it was going into her and Errol Spence sparring, and like saying he's not taking it easy on. So I don't know.
That would be something to see.
It will be. It will be. But also that made me think about. I'm waiting on that. I'm ready for this Spence Crawford. I'm
Oh,
ready for
man.
this Spence Crawford. Yeah, Spence. So Crawford get the 60-40 split, and let's go.
Yeah,
Let's that.
I want to see it, man. I'm like you. That's one you gotta see.
Give my dog, give Crawford. We know Crawford the bigger draw. Give
Yeah.
Crawford that 60-40 split, and Spence. If you feel like you need that 60, you got to go in there and win. So let's do this. Let's do it. But one time for Clarissa Shields. One time for that's our home girl. All right, man. Let's take this plane from Flint, Michigan, on down to Irving, Texas, and we staying at Doc House since he live in Dallas. So we're gonna dock off and stay at Doc House, and let's talk about his good old Cowboy. How about them Cowboys getting Dak Prescott under contract, baby? We're going back to the Super Bowl. I don't care what you say. I don't care if you disagree or you or anybody else disagree. As a Dallas Cowboy fan, it's my duty to say we going to the Super Bowl. All right. So now that I got that out of the way. So speaking like with some sense, so I'm gonna talk from a point of view of Dak Prescott. Talk from the point of view of football business. So to give people details, Dak has agreed to a 4-year, $160 million contract with $126 million guaranteed. They were saying some of the languages in the contract that things can be restructured the way they pay him. But he's gonna get all this money, but they can change the way they pay him that money. So the deal, which is technically for 6 years but voids to four, so as to help Dallas against the salary cap, can be worth up to $164 million. Prescott signing bonus is $66 million, the highest in NFL history, with a record $75 million due in year one. The first 3 years of the deal average $42 million per year. The Cowboys announced they had agreed to a contract with Prescott, but did not disclose the terms, but I just read them to you. Cowboys will place the franchise tag on Prescott on Tuesday as a procedural matter, a source told Schefter. The Cowboys announced they will not hold a news conference Wednesday. Prescott's salary cap number for this season will be $22.2 million instead of $37.2 million that will have come along with the franchise tag, a savings of $15.5 million. So that's against the season salary cap. The process to reach a long-term deal with Prescott covered 3 off-seasons, multiple mega deals, mega million offers, and hours of negotiation. So, all right, so we got the numbers and stuff. All right, so I'm glad as a player, because last week we talked about having that mercenary mentality, right?
All right.
So from Dak's standpoint, the player standpoint, I'm glad he got his money. That's a lot of goddamn money, and I'm glad he got his money.
Yeah.
Even though, like some of the language in the contract is not all quite what they're saying it out to be, but I'm glad he got his money. And he got Jerry Jones to do what Jerry Jones should have just did 3 years ago and overpay for that, right? But Jerry Jones would have got a he would have overpaid at a cheaper price for that 3 years ago.
He would have got a deal, but
He
now,
can't.
nah, yeah, he should have tried to do like Kansas City, man. I mean, 'cause like you look at the Mahomes deal, and it's like, oh man, that's a lot of money. But in you think about in 3 years, people gonna be making more than Mahomes, but he gonna
Yeah.
be locked in for that deal.
Yeah. And the jokes on, I don't want to say the jokes on Mahomes because it's not, but it is, but it's not. But well, he brought stake in the Kansas City Royals, right?
Yeah.
The team who owned the Chiefs owned the Royals. So he gave him that money right back.
Yeah.
So it's like, so you see what I'm saying? Like joke on him, but it's not, but it is. But so my thing is they did get Dak at the money that they got, and yes, he has the highest signing bonus, and he's gonna get that $75 million. But they're still not getting the salary cap hits. So that will help them be able to hopefully improve on defense and improve in the running game, because that's what we need. So now, so do you think from a football standpoint, just forget the mercenary standpoint, from the football standpoint, do you think that was worth that much?
I think, yeah. I mean, quarterbacks just worth that much. I mean, even if you're not even talking about the of a guy like Patrick Mahomes, they still worth that much. I mean, 'cause like I was looking, I follow what's his name, Dan Orlovsky on Twitter. He said that you got the four categories. You got the guys that you win because of them, and the guys you can win with, and then the other two I can't remember, but like the Dak falls, I don't know if he's the because of quite yet, but he's definitely you can
They
win
with,
with.
yeah.
So, but the other ones was okay. The other ones was you win in spite of, and the ones you can't win with. So, but he's definitely in that you can win with.
Right,
So,
right.
and possibly can push himself up to that win because
Right.
of. Honestly, you could make an argument based on how Cowboys was last year. You could make an argument
He
with,
went because of, yeah.
right? So. I think he's definitely worth it. Any one of those ones that you fall, because it's so. I mean, obviously it's 32 starting quarterback jobs, but I don't even think it's that many guys that's that quality starting quarterbacks.
It's not. It's
But you
not.
got 32, so if you got one, you gotta pay, find a way to keep them, because it's so rare.
It's not a lot of quarterbacks that has the value that Doc have or have the skill set or can bring to the table what Dak can do. It's not 32 quarterbacks in the league that can do that. Let's just be real.
Right.
Dak, I would Dak is probably he's top eight, top 10 quarterback in the league. He's definitely, I wouldn't say he's top five, even though he has had top five production.
Yeah,
But
8 to 10, I can see that.
yeah, but you know, to be in that top five, you are a certified, they win because of you to be top five. All right. So those are your Russell Wilsons, your Patrick Mahomes, your Aaron Rodgers, your Tom Brady's, Drew Brees, quarterbacks like that. The ones who usually there toward the end of the season, right? So those are like your top fives, and then Dak is, you know, that second tier. But I am happy with that we got our quarterback locked up. Now, I'm not gonna lie. If we could have somehow got Russell Wilson, oh man, it would have been a hell on Dak. I ain't gonna lie to you. It'd have been a hell on Dak. Get on down the road, because we got Russell Wilson. But I'm not mad, because we got a quarterback who's very productive and he's younger than Russell Wilson. So,
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I mean, you I yeah, you could love Dak Prescott, but I mean, he ain't no Russell Wilson, so I mean, and that's not a knock on him. I mean, that's just how live Russell is.
right. Yeah. So now, I do want to see how well that can perform after the ankle, after a broken ankle. But a good thing about it, it's not ligament.
Right.
So usually when they come back off the bone injuries, it's not as long a recovery, or they don't have the same, all the players don't have the same type of timidness as they do with a ligament injury. So
I mean, I'm not, obviously not no medical expert, but from what, from things I've read, like you'd rather break a bone than tear a ligament.
yeah.
The bone's gonna heal back faster and harder. So it's not as a, and then the like you said, the mental hurdle. I mean, 'cause like I can even speak on that. I know, like when I came back from my shoulder, I mean, the doctor's like, hey, yeah, you good to go, but you in the back of your mind, you like, yeah, I do this, still feel kind of weird. So the mental hurdle is not as great if you're talking about, oh, it's, you know, you a break and it just, you know, fuse back together.
Right, right. But I mean, yeah. So I'm wondering now, okay, because we have to shore up our roster. Offensively, we need to concentrate on, first thing we need to concentrate on offensive line, offensively, and then running back. Now I think the back, I have faith in our backup running back number 20. But I wouldn't mind having like another insurance piece. But I do want to improve our offensive line so we can have more production in the running game, because we saw this year that our running game ain't the strength of our team. Like, this was Ezekiel Elliott's time to show up, and he didn't, because we've had the reverse opposite where Ezekiel was out and Dak sustained at least. But this is like, without Dak, we tanked. So sold the offensive line, get an insurance piece in the backfield, and spend the rest of the money on defense. Our defense has to get better.
Yeah, definitely that. Because that Dallas, I mean, their defense was terrible. I mean, talking about, like, looking at metrics, like the worst in the league.
I'm talking about, they felt like the defense that was on my team in City League, that Mesa North defense. Everybody knew they was gonna win when they played us. Y'all knew y'all was gonna win when y'all played us.
Yeah, but dog, we beat everybody though. So it
but you, but you knew, especially you knew you was gonna win when you played us. Yeah, because your competition was Timberland and Bond. Yeah, y'all knew y'all was gonna beat us.
That's true.
And we knew we was gonna lose because we knew our defense was trash. Hey, goddamn Antonio Camardi out there getting crushed.
Yeah, man. But yeah, that was a trip, man.
What's crazy though, dog? We had Antonio Camardi and Ernest Sims out there on them fields. That's crazy.
You think about it.
That's
both
crazy.
NFL.
Yep. So, all right. So let's stay in the professional lanes, but let's jump sports. You heard me? We jumping sports. You heard me? That wasn't a great transition, but it don't matter. I said it.
Right, right.
So the Brooklyn Nets then picked up Blake Griffin. Is it over, Sam? Is it over? They got Blake Griffin. Is it over? Are the Nets now the favorite to win the NBA Finals?
It depends on Anthony Davis. It depends on Anthony Davis. If I won't say it's over if he comes back and is like he was earlier in the year and the bubble.
Yeah.
But if he's not that, I mean, because like LeBron is LeBron, but just
he's
like
36.
Right, and then just like how when he went against the Warriors, I mean, you can only do so much if you're going against a team that's just stacked.
Yeah, yeah.
Nets, they stacked.
Yeah, yeah. they're not as deep as a team, and that's one of the things too. Like that Warriors team was a lot deeper than this Brooklyn team. So the Brooklyn is not as deep, but Brooklyn got their 1 through 4 talent is now better than that that Warriors 1 through 4, because Blake Griffin is better than Draymond Green. Now Draymond could do more, but Blake Griffin is a better player. He's definitely a better talent. Because my thing is, like, when I heard it, I was the first thing I thought, like, damn, this shit might be over. And then they're talking about bringing Blake Griffin off of the bench, which could mean, like, at any time, you can still have two superstars on the court at any time.
Mm-hmm.
So that's interesting. But I did think about, okay, what would the Lakers do? Because if Anthony Davis is healthy, neither Blake Griffin nor DeAndre Jordan, there's no – the Nets don't have an answer for for Anthony Davis. I don't care what they do. They don't have, even with Blake Griffin, they still don't have an answer for Anthony Davis. You're going to have an answer for KD and James. Kyrie going to get his just by default, but mainly KD. You're going to need an answer for him, and it ain't too many answers for KD. So the Nets have the offensive advantage, but defensively, that's what I still worry about the Nets.
If you're looking at versus the Lakers, like I'm assuming, like that's what we're talking about, like Nets and Lakers in the finals.
Yeah.
The thing I think the Lakers will have to worry about is how can you manage LeBron to where he don't have to, you know, exert so much on a defensive end guarding those guys, like guarding KD. You could put Kuzma on him. You could put, I think, don't they still got one of the Morris twins?
Yep.
So you could put them on him, on KD or Harden. And then that way you can kind of save LeBron for, you know, for the other end.
Yeah, because I'm putting Schroeder. I'm even though I know Kyrie going to get his, I'm putting Schroeder on Kyrie.
Yeah, because like I said, the main thing, like if I was them, the main thing I would worry about, I mean, because like, LeBron can match up with those guys on defense.
Yeah.
But I want to save him for offense.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't want to have to do any and all that with LeBron like that. So yeah, cause we saw that in the Cavs and Nets series when LeBron got exhausted. So but yeah, I mean it's gonna be interesting too because now in the East has vastly improved. So you still got to look at Boston. So you're looking at Brooklyn. You're looking at Philly. You're looking at Milwaukee. Can we still say Toronto?
I think you can, but I mean, like I said, it's if you're talking about just in the conference, it's Brooklyn's to lose, man.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. I don't see. I mean, because, like, you got like, you named those teams. I think the closest one to them would be Philadelphia. Right. Philadelphia or Milwaukee. But I don't think either one of them have enough. I mean, just with New – I keep wanting to say New Jersey.
Yeah, with the Nets.
Just with Brooklyn, just to overwhelm me, man.
Yeah, because Milwaukee, man – I don't understand Milwaukee, man. Get you a third piece that can hit mid-range shots. That has get your third piece with some ice in their face. Because
you know what their problem is though?
What's
they
that?
They play in Milwaukee. Don't nobody want to go there.
Yeah. Yeah, because I mean Chris Middleton is going to disappear at points.
Mm-hmm.
And we know the limitations in Giannis's game. Like, make him shoot mid-range. He ain't going to make it. He'll hit threes every now and then. But for the most part, Giannis, don't let him get to the basket.
That's easier said than done, though.
It true. But we've seen it happen consecutive years. And it's like... If Milwaukee get them like a third cold ass piece, they can make some moves. They can make some moves. So, but you know, go ahead.
Yeah, but like I said, man, their main issue is, and it is nothing they can do about it, is that they are Milwaukee, and like you a free agent, and you like, oh man, you know, I could play in Miami or I can play in Milwaukee. I mean, come on.
I'm going to Miami. I ain't gonna lie to you. I'm going to Miami. It's going down.
Right. You talking about you a 25 to 28-year-old NBA player. Would I want to spend my time in Milwaukee or would I want to spend my time in Miami?
The only way I would go to Milwaukee if the money was right and I knew I would be a piece to a championship team. That's the only way I would go. Other than that, I'm not gonna choose Milwaukee over the other destinations. It just won't happen. So,
yeah, you have to go way down the list before you find like all the cities you would want to live in. Now, not even talking about just like playing the NBA, just like period. That
would you live in?
What's the cities you want to live in? Milwaukee's way down.
All right, man. Quincy, Florida, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, Quincy, man. Hey, man. All right. So you are expecting the Nets to be the Eastern Conference representative in the finals?
Yeah, 100%, man.
Me too.
I mean, I don't see nobody else. I'm pretty much, like I said, in the West, I'm not 100% the Lakers. But that's depending on AD. But I mean, Utah looking pretty strong, man.
Utah, Denver. Okay, can't count out Denver with Jokic and what's your boy light skin?
Michael Porter Jr. Or are you talking about Jamal Murray?
Yeah, Jamal Murray, bad boy. But yeah, Utah, hey, and Donovan mentioned them. Hey, look here. And then we gotta see if the Clippers wanna be serious or not. So
yeah, man. I can't figure them out because they doing this whole like when we making the joke about the load management deal. So it's like is Kawhi playing, is Paul George playing? You know, we don't know. So we'll see how when the playoffs come.
Right. So I'm also expecting now the Nets to be the Eastern Conference representative. If the Nets don't win the finals, is it did they take a L for the season? Did they come up short if they don't win the finals?
Yeah, man. I mean, when you load up like this, I mean, you pretty much pushing all your chips to the table. You going all in, you know, at the table. So you either winning the pot or you walking away with nothing.
There you go. I'm in the greens. They got to win it. I feel like because when I heard it, I was like, the Nets got to win it all. They have to. All right. So speaking of putting all the chips on the table, that happened in the high school basketball game. Well, 161 chips was put on the table. All right, so a Southern California high school basketball coach has been suspended and faces accusations of mercilessly running up the score after his team won a game 161-2, one of the most lopsided scores in state history. My first question would be to the coach who team scored 2 points. How the hell did y'all only score 2 points? Y'all only got the ball in the basket one time in four quarters? What are you teaching them?
They could have been free throws.
like y'all couldn't get the ball in the hoop at least five times? Like y'all ain't had one fast break opportunity with no open shots? Like, okay. But so the Royal Valley High girls coach Michael Anderson was suspended for 2 games after the victory last week against Bloomington High. Anderson said that he wasn't trying to run up the score or embarrass the opposition. His team had won 4 previous games by at least 70 points, and Bloomington had already lost the game by 91. So what you suspended him for? They had already got beat by 91, and that coach is... What?
I'll let you finish the article.
No, say it. Get hey, it off your chest now.
Like I said, I would have to see it for me to say whether it's worthy of a suspension or not. Just going after the score, and then those other things that you just said, I'm like you. It don't make sense. I mean, because like this was girls basketball, right?
Yeah.
And I mean, you ain't gotta be, you know, like no hoops, you know, hoops aficionado to know, like, in high school girls basketball, there's not a lot of there's I mean it's just not a lot of quality players.
Right.
So the top teams are way better than even in the middle teams. It's not like on the boys' side where like
Right.
there's athletes all over the place. And then what state was this in?
California, Southern California.
California. So I mean, I
A
don't
state
know what
that's known for producing talent now.
right,
So
but then it's a big state.
it is.
So are the talented players, they all gonna be gravitating towards like prep schools and things like that. So where if you're talking about two public schools, you just got what you got. And then you got this one team that's obviously undermatched because they losing games, already by 90 points. So, and then this other team, you said they beating other people by, they beat
70.
by 70. So, I mean, you knew what was going to happen. But like I said, like I would just need to see it because
Yeah.
Unless he was out there, unless he had the girls out there, they up by 100 points, and then you still out there, running fast breaks and pressing and
So
doing that kind of stuff, then yeah, somebody need to sit you down somewhere.
let me read this statement. He says, "The game just got away from me." Anderson told San Bernardino's Sun on Friday, "I didn't play any starters in the second half."
Okay, so that's a check mark in his favor.
He says, also says, "I didn't expect them to be that bad. I'm not trying to embarrass anybody." He says, if he had to do it again, he'd have played only reserves after the first quarter, or I wouldn't play the game at all. But that's not fair to the starters. That's not
Well,
fair to the
see, it like I would say, okay, the first quarter is a little extreme. The first half, after the first half, I can see it. But then, like I said, it depends on not just because, like, not just playing the, because chances are his reserves was way better than the other team's starters.
Start
So that wasn't going to do anything.
right.
It's how they were playing. But like I said, I'll have to see it
But
to make a judgment of that.
let's just be real, because Sam, we didn't we've been on teams that were good, and we've been on teams that were trash.
Yep.
And the only time we got drug through the mud is when we gave minimal effort. Let's just be real. Because we've seen some trash ass high school female basketball. We've seen that before. But we still also saw we saw a gap in talent, but we saw effort. Because you that team didn't give, come on, they didn't give effort. You only scored 2 points. That's a lack of effort.
I mean, I feel, but like I said, I'll have to see
Oh, they were playing the
it. But see, because like just what you just said, I always think about when we was in high school. I remember one time we lost a baseball game. We lost a baseball now by 30 runs. So that's probably the equivalent of the what happened here.
Yes, yes.
The final score, I think it was 33-1. We scored one run. I remember one player hit a home run. And what happened, it was crazy because we didn't know we had, and part of it, we weren't that much. I mean, they were better because they went on to win the state championship that year. It was against Godby. But part of it was we didn't know we had a game that day. And we like it was a misscheduling conflict, and we showed up. We weren't ready to play,
Right.
so.
But
But during the course of the game, they were scoring, but it wasn't like once they knew the game was in hand, like they weren't out there like trying to steal bases.
right.
Like if they hit a ball in the gap, they would still only go to one base. But it was just it was just single after single after single after single. And it's like, I mean, you weren't expecting them to get up there and not swing. So
Right, but the main thing you said about this scenario is you all were not prepared to play. And because you were not prepared to play, you got 30 hung up on your head. So, were they not?
it's like I said, it's possible, but like I said, I would have to see
Yeah, no,
it.
I get what you're saying. You are trying to play devil's advocate and help them out, but I don't. It ain't much you can do to help because it's like, as a coach, I would have to go to my team and suspend myself, and I would go advocate for the other coach to not be suspended because I have to look my team in the eyes and let them know I let you down. As your coach, I let you down. So since they was going to suspend this coach 2 games, I'm suspending myself 2 games because we'd already lost 90 by 91 points before. So clearly, what we're doing ain't working.
It's a confluence of things that went wrong for something like that to happen. Like you said, one, I mean, even if it's this is two public schools, right, where and they in the same district where you know they're gonna have to play, that's one thing. But if you're talking about these are private schools where they have to get together and say, hey, let's play a game, then you know, like it's teams that you don't got no business being on the field or court with. And then like you said, that's on the people that made the game, if that's the case.
Because there have been times where you've been matched up with a team, and because of the classification that you are, you matched up with a team that no matter how hard you try, you're gonna get the dog walk. So yeah, all right, but yeah, I mean, hey, I don't know, but shout out to the winning team though. Keep hanging up 91. Keep beating people by 91, but like I agree with Colin Cowherd. The team who lost who only scored 2 points. Those players, they have so much adversity upon them right now that the one who comes out of that will be successful in life. The one who's able to fight out of that would be successful in life because you won't have nowhere to go but up. And ain't no more farther down you could go.
That'll be a humbling thing. But like you said, man, I mean, I would be interested in like seeing the actual film, because like that's a moment where you can learn a lot about yourself as a player. When you're in a situation where you know the game is out of hand, but I mean, you can either just say, F it, I'm
I
done.
be
They
damned.
up by 120 points, or you can say, you know what, I'm gonna still play every possession
Hey.
and do that.
I would have had 10 points. Damn that. Like, ain't no way we gonna only score 2 points in 4 quarters. Dog, like, out of that, probably had 167 blocks on me, but we scoring more to 2 points. Hey man, hey. So let's take a detour before we come back to basketball, and let's go back to the gridiron, and let's go to a story that really been building up since 2013. That shouldn't be a story today, but it's a story. And Les Miles probably has a wrongful termination lawsuit. He may have one. So the University of Kansas will pay former head football coach Les Miles almost $2 million under the settlement agreement, reaching the following revelation that Miles had been investigated for sexual misconduct while he was at Louisiana State in 2013. So that figure essentially represents what Miles would have been paid through the rest of the year. Kansas Athletic Director Jeff Long said at a news conference Tuesday afternoon. And Keep Jeff Long fresh in your mind because he's an important part of this story. Kansas and Miles released a joint statement late Monday night announcing they mutually agreed to part ways. The settlement agreement includes non-disparagement clauses, which explains why the statement gives no specific reason for Miles' departure, nor any acknowledgement of the embarrassing disclosures of the past 2 weeks. Pressed on why Kansas reached a settlement, I said press real hard, then pressed on why Kansas reached the settlement with Miles rather than trying to fire him for cause, Long said it was debatable whether Miles had lied to him when he was asked if there was anything that could be of concern to Kansas and alluded to wanting to avoid a legal fight. See, this is how Kansas is covering their butt from getting a wrongful termination lawsuit. So this is not necessarily going in it, but so LSU's athletic director in 2013, he got reports of Les Miles having unwanted sexual misconduct with some female students, and female students being chosen by their looks. Their time with the team being chosen by their looks, their value of the team being chosen by the way they look, using women in recruitment, and Les Miles' own sexual misconduct of allegedly kissing girls in the mouth, trying to get girls to have sex with him, and all types of stuff. And so the athletic director at LSU at that time, Joe Oliva, said he wanted to fire Les Miles, but didn't. And so this is after Les Miles had won his last national championship at LSU, so 2013. So we're talking the beginning of the decline of Les Miles in LSU. So he wanted to fire Les Miles at the time, but he didn't. And I'm thinking that two reasons why they didn't fire him: one, lack of real physical evidence, rather than he say, she say. And two, firing Les Miles at that time would have got him fired quicker as well at that time. Because remember, this was the beginning of the decline of Les Miles. And so now that all of that happened, Les Miles eventually gets fired from LSU later. 2016, he gets fired from LSU. So come 2020, 2021, Les Miles is the head coach of Kansas, and these stories come back up. And this is why Kansas, I believe they'll fire him, because it all come back up that he has the sexual assault allegations upon him from 2013. So how does this look, Sam? Like, this look crazy, because the Kansas athletic director already admitted that they didn't do a thorough background check. So, like, how does this look to you?
That was the first thing I was going to go to. Like, they dropped the ball in vetting them, basically. I mean, they not firing him because of what he did. They firing him because they found out about it. He didn't do nothing at Kansas,
right?
So it's not a punishment. It's more like, hey, if we would have known about this, we wouldn't even have hired you. Which, right. I mean, and that's fine, but you gotta. How did they not know this? That don't make sense to me. I mean, you talking about, I mean, I know it's, granted, it's Kansas. It's not, we're not talking about Alabama.
But still, but like, you got pick up, hey, LSU, does Les Miles have any questionable behaviors or anything in the past that we need to be worried about before we hire him? Has he got any sexual assault allegations or anything on him before we hire
him? Yeah, you're right.
Simple as that.
I mean, that's the only thing. That was my first thing of, is like, how did y'all not notice? Yeah, that's something you gotta vet the guy. I mean, you would have been doing that anyways, but especially in this day and age.
I'm saying like, hey, so basically they came to Les and was like, all right, look, like you said, we found out about the sexual assault allegations from 2013 with LSU. And this to and today's climate, we can't have you as our coach with those allegations. So we're going to not fire you, but give you a severance letting go ceremoniously because we fucked up as well.
Right.
And we should have done a thorough background check because we don't want to look like the team who hired a sexual predator, even though that's literally what we are. We don't want to look like it. So we're going to give you this $2 million and let you go.
Yeah. I mean, but that's the thing. They had no other choice. I mean, because like you can't say it's a for cause firing because he didn't do anything on this particular job.
Right.
So you was going to have to honor the contract. So They had to do it.
Yeah. It's like I get it. I get the optics. But I do, and I guess this is me speaking as a black man. I wish at times, especially with players, they would not be so quick to dismiss or fire people, but spend more time getting all the information that they need. Because there have been times where players, especially players, haven't done anything but were just falsely accused. And now it's all they're like, well, hell, at least we're clear. We're in the clear. It's like, yeah, but y'all still ruined somebody. So sometimes, I mean, and I don't know how you determine the best time to do that, but I just think at some points they need to do more thorough investigation before they just decide to let somebody go. And even before you hire somebody, because if Kansas would have done a better thorough investigation, this wouldn't be a story.
Right, because they would have never gave him the job.
So shout out to Kansas. Hey man, that's crazy. That's crazy as hell. Like, Kansas got too much money for that. Let's stop playing. They not good at football, but they good at basketball. But still, they football bring in too much money. And they got too much money to be playing like that. Stop that. Mm-mm-mm. Now they over here like, fam, you playing coaches who ain't even coaching. They still, because they paying, I think they paying the dude before Earl Holmes, paying the athletic director and somebody else.
Hopefully we can sit with Willie Simmons for a while.
You know what? I saw a post, I followed the SWAC Central on Facebook, the little Facebook page they got. And so somebody was suggesting that like Ed Reed become the coach of FAMU, and a whole bunch of other of the NFL players that we love become coaches of these teams. So me and another dude was in there like, hey, we love Ed Reed. You know, that's our best friend.
Best buddy.
But we good with Willie Simmons. With somebody with coaching experience. We good with Willie. We good. So, and I get the sentiment, but if we have to, like those, the sentiment is if those coaches coach at HBCUs, we have more players come to HBCUs and more players from HBCUs be able to go to the league. Well, how about the players put their money where their mouth is or the actions where their mouth is and just go support HBCU just because?
Yeah.
Everybody pick one. Every and all the NFL players, y'all pick an HBCU to adopt and help out.
That'll be huge, man. I mean, cause the thing is, I know we're getting kind of off the topic, but like when you hear people talk about that, everybody talks about, oh, the players should go, they should go to the HBCUs. But that's a hard ask for a player like to do something like that. The basically, I mean, not that you can't make it at HBCU, but basically almost, you know, like, hey, sacrificing, you know, my future or whatnot.
Yeah, it's not an easy ask to say, hey, choose Prairie View A&M over Alabama.
Right. Because like, think about it, if you put it like, thinking about it in terms of like any other kind of profession, right? If you want to be a lawyer, you're gonna go to the best law school possible. That's gonna, you know, give you the best chance of performing well at the bar, the best chance to make the kind of connections you're gonna need, the best chance to the study to learn from the best professors.
Well,
So you're not gonna go to a law school that hey, you know, like, well, yeah, if you come here, you know, you it's a 50-50 chance you pass the bar. I don't
well,
know, not if you
but
got other options.
right, but also black people, we have to be real with ourselves and admit that it's our fault we're in this situation because we're the ones that thought that white universities were better, and so we're the ones decided to look at going at white universities when we could have. When the black talent could have kept going to HBCUs. So.
I feel you, but the thing is, what you don't, but you but you want to have the choice though.
Yeah, you do. And see, to me, if that would have stayed in place, at least choose HBCU, at least more of the players, because you can still have them going to the big schools. Because even to be honest, if things would have stayed the way they were, and football grows behind black football players, the money would have been at the HBCUs.
Yeah.
TV contracts would have been at the HBCUs. So the choices would have still been there. It would have just been the different schools. So, and then after that, after you build up the HBCUs and get them sustained, to have that mindset of, hey, this is where we need to go, then you can start to branch out to other ones. But I am a bit advocate for players going to HBCUs, but at the same time, I get everything you're saying because it's a hard ask for me to choose once again Prairie View A&M over Alabama.
Right.
So,
Especially
especially like, yeah,
as a 17-year-old.
and a top recruit. So,
Right.
and that also takes culturing from the parents and the community too. So, but hey, man. Hey, so let's get to our last story today. This HB, I mean, not shy. This weekly rant. That's what I mean. Not HBCU rant, but this weekly rant. And so Les Miles' story was going to be the rant, but I found something even more rant worthy. So there's an announcer named Matt Rhone. It's a high school basketball announcer in Oklahoma. He's the owner and operator of streaming service OSPN, later admitted to using words and apologized. Hot mic moment, right? The incident happened before the match between Norman High School and Midwest City quarterfinal game. Kneeling for the national anthem symbolizes a protest against racism. We all know that now. Even though I personally wish people stopped kneeling, but hey, we get it. Let's take some real actions now. But hey, but we know where the kneeling come from, Colin Kaepernick 2016. Then everybody like, hey, man, he kneeled against the flag. He don't like military. Even though the military man told him to kneel. Even though we white and we have short memories and we act like we don't have film of Nate Boyer coming on national TV and telling everybody that he told Colin Kaepernick to kneel because it'd be more respectful. Right? So Matt Rowan's comments were overheard during a break in the live stream at the National Federation of High School Network. Appearing not to realize the stream was still live, he could be heard reacting to the decision by some of the players from Norman School to kneel while the Star Spangled Banner played. He said, "There, this is my country," cracker voice. "They're kneeling. I hope Norman gets their ass kicked," he said using profanity. "I hope they lose. Come on, Midwest City. They're gonna kneel like that." He then went on to use profanity and a racial slur. Basically, he said it was like they fucking up something and some of these niggas. That's what they called a bunch of high school girls. Hot mic moment. So him thinking that the mic was off said that. Now, in his apology, he blamed his diabetes. He said he had low blood sugar, and that was one of the reasons why it came out like that, because he had low blood sugar.
I can't even do nothing but laugh at that.
Boy, stop.
I mean, not to make, because like I'm aware that if you diabetic, having a low blood sugar can make you delirious. But come on, man. I mean, is he like he expect people to believe that?
Bruh. So you thought the mic was off. So in thinking the mic was off, he began to talk freely as he would normally talk. And he was basically like, fuck you niggas. I don't like y'all neither. That's literally what he said. Thinking the mic was off.
Right. And then that diabetes thing, like, it wasn't affecting you during the broadcast.
Because you did a whole broadcast. Because he finished the broadcast.
Right. Only when, like you said, you thought the mic was off, that the diabetes was affecting you.
He got selective diabetes, right?
Right.
Oh, damn it, nerves. Stop. Oh, okay. I'm back.
Right. I'm like, come on, man. And then, like, it just still amazed me that, I mean, I shouldn't even say amazed me. I mean, like, I don't even know. It's not it's not about the flag, bro. Like, what are you doing?
But that's a white supremacist deflection tactic to remind the other white supremacists that they supposed to be maintaining the status quo. And these Negroes are shaking up the status quo. That's why their argument can't change. That's why it hasn't changed. And that's why it never made sense. Because it's about the flag. So that means y'all need to be mad at Nate Boyer. Because Nate Boyer told Colin Kaepernick to take a knee. When Colin Kaepernick was originally sitting, which I feel like he should have kept doing. But he took a knee because a white Marine said, hey, this will make me feel better. And so Colin Kaepernick started taking the knee. So that means, according to their logic, that Nate Boyer in itself is treasonous and un-American.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the whole, like, and if it's, and then, like, if you want to say, oh, man, it's politics or whatnot, I don't want to see it in sports, I mean, then we just stop playing it all together.
I mean, like, look.
Just be like, hey, the game started at 5 o'clock. And then, you know, 4:30, they warm up and they come out. And then at 5 o'clock, start the game.
The national anthem does not have to be played anymore. Right. Especially at sporting events. It doesn't have. And we know that the NFL is only playing the national anthem because they're getting money from the military.
Right.
Like, we know that. But now, I don't have an overall problem with anybody still kneeling. I just know that others know that the kneeling is kind of more of empty gesture now than anything, because it doesn't hold the same weight and the same flair that it did at the time of, like, 2016, 2017. You know, but I'm not mad at anybody who's doing it. So
I was gonna say, I feel you, but I still like to see people doing it just so that, hey, it's not forgotten. It's not forgotten that, because it, as Black people, obviously, we not gonna forget racism.
Right.
But if you're a white person in America, it's real easy for you to be like, oh, well, that's over now.
Yeah. Now, right.
Every now and then it's good for somebody just to be like, hey, Don't forget about this.
Yeah. I just want us to follow up the kneeling with more of action that's good for us, whether this organization or something. Like, let's not just leave it at the kneeling, but how could we take it to a step further that could benefit us? So that's just my thoughts. And I'm not saying I'm right. I'm not saying I'm right. That's just my thought with it. So, but then again, that's why I say I don't have a problem with people kneeling.
I see.
So hell, kneel on. But I'm tired of people with these half-ass apologies. Stop apologizing for stuff that you don't mean, that you're sorry for, because you're not sorry that you said what you said. You're sorry that you got caught. And it's always funny. It's always funny. These white people say these things, but that's not them. Like we were talking about the dude who was talking about the Jazz and the Nuggets. And when he typed, he might have typed Nuggets and his phone said nigga. That's because you got a history of nigga in your phone.
Right. Right. Just like this guy. Like, when you listen, like, just think about that Dave Chappelle skit. You, like, you hear him say that, and it's like, that's a guy that say that all the time.
Yeah. Yeah. Nick, saying nigga is a part of your regular vocabulary. You just not man enough to admit it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the issues. Like, of course, we know he's in damage control, because with this saying, is OSPN being his network that he owns and operates, that he uses to broadcast these games. So now he's losing money, and he don't want to lose no money because they're not going to use his broadcast network. Maybe, maybe not. We don't know. This is Oklahoma. So. Florida ain't that different. So it's just funny, man. Like, it's just funny these moments like this. But like you said, though, it is a reminder for us that racism ain't over, and a reminder for white people that we ain't forgot.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely ain't forgot. Sorry.
But
dude blamed it on his diabetes. Diabetes,
I was just going to go back to that, man. When I saw that part, I couldn't believe it. I was like, I did not expect that. I expected, you know, the usual, you know, oh, you know, like, I'm going to learn from this, and it's not who, like you said, it's not who,
it's
I,
not who I am.
That kind of stuff. But I ain't never expected nobody to say I was in a diabetic situation. That's why I was.
He had a flare up. Hey. He ain't had no issues before he thought the mic was off. But he had a flare up while he thought the mic was off. And then when he thought the mic was back on, he back level. Like, wow. What type of medicine you take?
I would say he must have ate a Snicker bar or something.
And took some Tussin or something. That's funny. That's the worst. That's the worst lie since the person who called the people, the Nakers. He was trying to say Lakers, but he said the Nakers. Like, that's the word. That's the worst lie since the Nakers lie. So, yeah. Hey, man. You got to be slicker than that. You got to be quicker than that. Hey, man. That's another episode. Episode 20, man. This is another episode of the Fix Sports Podcast. Appreciate you, Sam, for riding with your homeboy out here. Man, we had a good time going through these topics. And remember, whenever your diabetes flare up, anything might come out of your mouth. So from now on, if anything crazy come out of my mouth, it's not my diabetes. It's Matt Rowan's diabetes that affected me emotionally. So remember that. Hey, y'all can support us on Patreon at patreon.com/thefix. Go to our website, www.freedomtrainradio.com. And we're going to keep doing what we do. Remember, the 4 videos on Patreon. We're going to have our clips on YouTube. And follow us on Instagram at Freedom Train Network. All that good stuff, man. He's Sam Dixie. I'm Joe Ward. And we like a fart in the wind. Just blowing.